You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Sunday. Welcome to Early BP. I'm Mike Farron. The D-backs yesterday had a 3-2 lead in the eighth inning for Mike Moustakas. Three-run home run off Andrew Chafin. Just the second home run Chafin's allowed to a lefty this year. Did the D-backs in an 8-3 defeat. They're now a game and a half behind Milwaukee for the second wild card spot in the National League. And just 10 days to go until the trade deadline. D-backs will send Alex Young to the mound today against Milwaukee's all-star right-hander Brandon Woodruff. We'll talk to Torrey Lovello a little bit more about that in just a few moments, but here's a look back at the past week in D-backs Week in Review. It's time for a look back at the previous week in D-backs Week in Review. Things started on Sunday in St. Louis as the D-backs offense couldn't get going till late, and they lost the finale of a three-game series with the Cardinals 5-2. After a Monday off day, the D-backs faced the Texas Rangers and broke open a 1-1 game in the fifth.
Lynn's pitch. Swinging a liner into shallow left center field. That's a base hit. Scoring is Vargas. LeCastro streaking around third. The throw off line. Two-run single. Ketel Marte. D-backs lead 3-1.
The bases loaded base hit from Marte gave the D-backs the lead, and Ildemaro Vargas busted it open an inning later.
Pitch. Vargas drives one up the alley in right center field. Gallo on the run. It is gone! Ildemaro Vargas, a two-run home run to center field. He points to the bullpen. They point back, and the D-backs lead 5-1.
D-backs would go on to beat Texas 9-2 in the first game of the two-game set. The next night, well, the offense jumped out early.
Escobar to deep right field, and the D-backs have a 2-0 lead. Wow, that went almost onto the concourse. First pitch to Nick, lined back through the middle. It's a base hit. Two-run single, Nick Ahmed. D-backs lead 5-0. First pitch, lined down the right field line. That is fair, and kicking into the corner. RBI double from Ketel Marte, and it's 7-0 D-backs.
Seven runs in the first for the D-backs, and five more in the second.
First pitch to the right-handed hitting Krohn, and he clubs it deep left center field, way back, and that is way out of here. Off the back wall of the D-backs bullpen, a three-run shot for Kevin Krohn.
When all was said and done, the D-backs scored 19 runs in a 19-4 victory over Texas and got another special performance from Eduardo Escobar.
Escobar drives one to left field. That ball is gone. Eduardo Escobar is homered from both sides of the plate.
Five home runs in all for the D-backs, who came home two games over 500 as they welcomed in the Milwaukee Brewers. Milwaukee busted open a 1-1 game with three in the eighth to beat the D-backs in the opener 5-1 despite a strong performance from Merrill Kelly.
Tough game to lose. Want to get off to a good start in this series with, you know, how big of a, with the implications that this series has. It's baseball sometimes. We still got three more, so come back tomorrow and, try to turn the page.
Turn the page, the D-backs did. In the third inning, down 3-1, the offense exploded against former D-back Yuli Chacin.
There's a drive to left field, and this ball is gone, and the Diamondbacks have hit for the cycle, and four hitters this inning. Single Dyson, double Marte, triple Escobar, now home run for Walker, and they've got the lead 5-3.
And that was a missile.
Walker's homer kept a four-batter stretch where the D-backs singled, doubled, tripled, and then his 19th home run of the year. First time in franchise history the D-backs have had four consecutive hitters hit for the cycle in an inning. But they weren't done because Eduardo Escobar helped to add an exclamation point.
And they drive to right, and Yelich back, and it's gone. A home run for Escobar. Number 22 on the air. D-backs get a run right back. And now lead it 8-4.
Tell you what, I have not seen Escobar swing the bat with this much authority for a long, time. I mean, he is swinging with a lot of confidence.
You know, I think this game, you know, especially when you score a lot of runs, you know who Tiguan faces, you know. I need a lot of runs, but this a lot of energy. You go triple, you know, starting the rally over there. You know, I'm so happy. But I'm most important, you win today.
The D-backs got another strong performance from a starter on Saturday. Zach Greinke allowed just 2 runs in 7 innings of work. But Mike Moustakas' opposite field 3-run home run off Andrew Chafin gave Milwaukee a lead they wouldn't relinquish in an 8-3 win over the D-backs. In all, the D-backs go 3-3 for the week. They are a game and a half behind Milwaukee for the second wild card spot in the National League as they enter play today. And that's a look back at the week that was on D-backs Week in Review. More coming up on the Diamondbacks Radio Network. There's started to be a little bit of separation in the wild card race as teams have started to fall back a little bit. Colorado, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati among them. But the D-backs right there in the mix near the top, a game and a half back. And with Baltimore coming in next and then 4 against Miami, this is actually a pretty critical day for the D-backs. A win here would get them a split of the 4-game set with Milwaukee going into a consecutive series with last place teams. So let's talk to the manager, Torrey Lovello, a little bit more about today's game. Torrey, let's touch on the middle innings yesterday. Milwaukee's bullpen came out throwing very hard. I think they had 10 strikeouts in their 5 innings of work. What did you see in those at-bats, specifically against Peralta and Hauser?
Well, I mean, it was aggressive fastballs that we just couldn't time up and we couldn't put in play. And, you know, I think it was several strikeouts for a 3-inning period of time that we're not typically doing that, and maybe to take a little bit off of our swing or maybe to time it up and get on top of the ball. I'm not exactly sure, but you got to give them some credit. They did it when they had to, allowed their team to play catch up. We had a chance to extend leads. We didn't. And that's the name of the game. And when you got to put a team away, when you have the opportunity to put a team away, you got to do it. And their bullpen was a strong reason for us not being able to add on runs.
Yeah, and obviously most of the focus is on the struggles of Chafin and Godley yesterday, but 2-man at third, 1-out situations where you couldn't punch a run home. Yeah. Was that the most frustrating thing last night?
Yeah, probably. When you're looking to extend some leads and tack on some runs and really put a team away, which good teams do, and you miss those opportunities, you can't fault yourself for giving up a 1-run lead late in the game. So obviously Chafin was the highlight. Everybody's focused on Chafin, but when you look inside of the game, which we do very often here, there's a couple highlights, and those were one of them.
How do you feel overall about your team's execution in those less than 2 outs, men in scoring position situations?
It's been hit or miss, and sometimes it's exceptional, sometimes it's well below average. And, you know, we're just looking for consistency, and it's hard to do. Trust me, it's hard to walk up to the plate with men in scoring position. It's when all the chips are out on in the middle of the table and a lot's at stake, and it's a challenging effort by both the pitcher and the hitter. But you just got to be yourself, and that's what we talk about. Don't try to do too much. Be a good hitter like you always are, and good things will happen.
Well, how do you approach that mindset? Because it's the pitcher that's in trouble, not the hitter. Now, obviously, the pitcher is probably saving his best stuff for those spots, but what do you have to, like, how do you trick yourself to make you think, it's not that hard?
Yeah, well, you're right. You just got to tell yourself that the pressure's on the pitcher. He's got to execute and throw it over the plate 3 times, and then he's probably going to go into his 2-strike approach or his 2-strike sequencing from the get-go, and I got to be a little bit patient. I got to wait for one pitch in one spot in one zone, and I'm not going to miss it. And if he doesn't throw it where I'm looking, I got to pass on it and hand it off to the next guy. But the key is mostly from a mental standpoint, to have the mentality that I don't have to hustle through this at bat. I'm going to take my time, and the pressure's on him.
All right, let's talk a little bit about today. Alex Young will make the start for you. This is a pretty good test for him, probably the best lineup that he's faced so far. What's a key for him against Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's just the command of all of his pitches that we've seen at a very, very good rate since he's gotten here. And, you know, I know there's going to be some left-handed batters in the lineup, and then he might be able to neutralize a little bit, but it's a very good lineup. You're right. They've got some very potent hitters that are waiting to do some damage. So it's about keeping the ball down. It's about X in the strike zone. It's about having the late life and the late movement that we've seen over the past several starts.
And you faced Brandon Woodruff today, who was the all-star for Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Another big right-handed arm. Mm-hmm. What's the key against him?
Well, like the relievers that we saw in the middle innings, that's what we're going to see today. It's power stuff. It's a lot of horsepower. It's a power slider. So we just got to sync up. We got to time up. We got to make sure that we're engaged and making the ball be in our area, but getting on top of the ball and staying through the ball and catching up to the very aggressive velocity.
I know I don't want to look ahead necessarily, but the next 7 games after today are against teams that are in last place. Mm-hmm. How important does that make today as we still sit in limbo 10 days out from the trade deadline?
Yeah, well, we're not making life easy for anybody, right, when you don't win the games you're supposed to win. And you can say in a perfect bucket that we're going to go out and we're going to sweep the rest of the games the rest of the way that you just mentioned. But we can't take anything for granted. We want to win as many games as possible, but we can't overlook this game today, which we won't. And then knowing that the Baltimore Orioles are coming in here that are transitioning and working hard to win as many games as they possibly can, they're going to give us some fits, and we can't take them for granted. So I want us to focus on today. And then knowing that we have a small window before the trade deadline, and we want to make the right decision and you know, hopefully stay in this race for as long as possible, we got to do some special things. So I'm looking at it two ways: today, taking care of our business, and knowing that we got a long range plan where we got to take care of our business as well.
That's good. D-backs manager Torrey Lovello before the D-backs take on the Milwaukee Brewers today. We'll have the BP show for you at 12:30 on the D-backs Network. First pitch with Greg and Tom at 1:10. Big day for the D-backs, as Torrey said. We'll talk to you tomorrow with a little more early BP.